The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to this MadTech Podcast Special. I'm John Still, ExchangeWise Head of Content, and I'm pleased today to be joined by Jordan Stacchini, founder of Manchester-based agency Co & Co. Welcome, Jordan.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining me. Really good to have you on. So Jordan and I first connected after you'd posted a bit of a takedown of a very famous ice cream man's out-of-home campaign in Manchester, which in fairness was an incredibly lazy example of localization. So on the back of that, I really wanted to get you on to talk about what good localization looks like and just to tell us a little bit more about what you do and consumer engagement and how to do localization properly. So we'll kick off. So how can brands, not make the same mistake as the famous ice cream brand that you posted about? How can they authentically connect with communities and consumers? And why do they keep getting it wrong?
Yeah, so thank you, first of all, for having me on. And yeah, what's really funny is that post that you saw, which ended up going a little bit viral, was actually just like an off the cuff. It wasn't even in my plan to post that week. It was kind of just a bit of filler. And I saw it on my drive into work and I thought, no, I'm not having this. And I did a post about it. And before I knew it, it'd gone absolutely wild and had all sorts of people contacting me. But yeah, I think, back to your question, it all comes down to knowing who it is, knowing who your customer is and knowing who you're targeting. And I think that when it comes to kind of outdoor, I think brands can be across the board quite lazy. And I think that they almost kind of hang their hat on, well, we don't know who's going to see it, right? So we'll just make it really broad brush and really far reaching. And that's okay to a degree, but I think they're also the campaigns that will get missed. But something like this particular one that we're talking about, they did try and tap into the local market, Manchester, in this particular instance. But it was just lazy. It was just kind of, it was actually, and I only know this from the post, but the same thing, exactly the same copy, exactly the same creative popped up in Edinburgh and Glasgow and different cities as well around the UK. So all they did to localize it was just change the name of the city. And I think that what you have to do in those situations is, in some cities that might be enough, right? But you also have to really understand the makeup of a city. And I think you have to understand that, kind of take London out of the equation. London's massive, right? It's huge. And while there are pockets of areas that have their own identity and have their own kind of way and almost their own cultures, if you like, Manchester, or a city like Manchester, which is probably a bit of a blueprint for every other regional city across the UK, right, is very small. And actually, to be a Mancunian, to be from Manchester, to have an affinity to Manchester is actually something that people take quite seriously, and it's quite tribal in a way. And I think that to really do localization campaigns right, you have to really understand kind of human psychology and that whole premise of tribe and that feeling of belonging and that sense of identity and ownership that people feel over their space. Now I'm saying this to you, as you can probably tell, as a southerner, so I'm not even from Manchester, right? But I've lived here for 12 years, and there is a real sense of identity that comes from a place like Manchester. And it is due to the size, it is due to the heritage, somewhere like Manchester where the Industrial Revolution started here, it's a big place. There's more to talk about, and there's more things to tap into. And I think in this instance, the marketing team behind the campaign just thought, we'll just change the city's name and that will be enough. But I think that was kind of one place where the campaign failed. I think the second place where it failed is this particular brand was trying to kind of go down a bit of a heritage route and trying to position themselves as a heritage brand. And actually the language they were using, and it was all around about being the best thing since 1989. Now, I think I said it in my post, but the only thing that I know that happened of note in 1989 is I was born. So I kind of was like, what was so special about 1989 for this brand? And I get that they've been around for a long time, obviously having kind of been born in 1989, but you can't claim yourself to be a heritage brand. You have to get that kind of credibility and that kudos and that kind of validation of a heritage brand over time from other people. You can't give it to yourself. It's a bit like when someone tells you that they're funny, you should wait for someone else to tell you that you're funny, right? It's the same with brands. Like, brands should wait until people tell them that they are a heritage brand, that they've earned their stripes, if you like, and then they can start owning it. For me, this particular brand has earned its stripes as a heritage brand. It's just been around for a long time. So there were two things there. There was a really lazy localization attempt, but there was also kind of this assumption that everybody knew how long they'd been around for and therefore would understand the wider content of the campaign. And I think both just totally failed. I think even in the comments of my post, people were trying to work out what's the 1989 thing about, da, da, da. And actually a lot of people came back to, well, what was happening in Manchester in 1989? Surely it's got to be something to do with that. And back to this whole game about like City and United. And that just shows you where people's mentality and people's wiring is at. They are looking at a localized campaign going, this must be talking to us in some way. And they're trying to work it out. But actually, they were wrong. And it was nothing to do with the city at all. It was to do with this brand being actually quite insular and kind of looking inward rather than looking out to the market and saying, do people even know that we've been around for this long? And is it a strong enough message to go out there with? Arguably, I don't think it was. And I think the majority of people on LinkedIn who saw that post would probably agree.
Yeah, you know, it was the equivalent of the rock band playing in a stadium and saying, we love you, Manchester. And then the next night, we love you the best, Liverpool. It's yeah. Very cheap. They thought they could get the cheap cheer from the crowd by putting the name in the poster and it fell spectacularly wrong. It was terrible. Yeah. Like you say, they are, you know, the brand doesn't have that connection to Manchester. We're not talking Boddington's or an Umbro here. There isn't like the local connection, and they, like I say, they went for the cheap win rather than really thinking about what the campaign could look like. How important do you think that, you know, you've touched on the importance of being Mancunian and really appealing to that, but in general for localizing campaigns, how can brands really do it properly, do you think?
They need to spend their time doing their research. They need to do the desk work. I think too many brands are too quick to come out of the jump with what they think is creative, what they think is the right thing to do. You can't get away from desk work. You can't get away from research. And ultimately, if you're going to go into a city and you're going to try to localize to them, you have to go and understand them. It's no different to any other market that you might want to sell to. You suddenly want to start selling a product to young mums, or you suddenly want to start selling a product to people that are taking early retirement. You'd have to go and research that market. You'd have to understand what their drivers are. You have to understand what they're about. And it's exactly the same when it comes to localized campaigns. You can't just assume that this whole mix of people are going to be the same from one place to the next. So I think what they have to do is they have to go and immerse themselves in those areas. They have to go and learn about the, you know, culture on kind of like that micro level of the cities. I mean, you know, we're in the Northwest. You don't have to be scientists to know that the cultural difference between Liverpool and Manchester is huge, and the way that they see themselves, the way they see each other. Leeds, again, is only just down the road from us. The difference between Yorkshire and Lancashire in that Leeds and Manchester kind of battle, there are real kind of tribal instincts and ties and feelings that are amongst people. And it's not enough just to assume that everybody is the same. You have to go into the market and you have to learn about them, spend time with them, work out what makes them tick. Work out what they're already doing as well. You know, as I say, this particular brand was very lazy in thinking that they could just rock up and kind of say, Manchester, aren't we amazing after 34 years? When Manchester has been like the heart of innovation, creation, moving forward for centuries. It's not enough for a brand to come along and say, haven't we been great for 34 years? There's, as you mentioned, some of those brands that have, you know, been established in Manchester for such a long time and even continue to be. You've got the likes of Adenola, you've got the likes of Represent, you've got these really big brands that are actually as well, the key thing, are based around community. They are based around people, and that's how they're getting it right. And that's how they're able to go out onto a world stage. And not actually, what they're not doing is they're not trying to infiltrate a new city and say, aren't we the best here? They're trying to bring Manchester along with them and actually use that as part of their sell. So for me, it comes down to understanding the culture of a place and really tapping into the community.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's lots of interesting points in there about how to really do it properly. And another thing is the danger I think sometimes industry has of seeing the industry and their target market as London, and then anything above is the North. And that's
100%.
And that's, you know, where you get like, you know, this, they need to think about how someone from Liverpool responds to a poster, how someone in Manchester does, how someone in Leeds, Glasgow, Edinburgh.
Especially when the people that are living in the Northwest have much more disposable income than those that are living in London. So
that's it. You know, this,
where would you put your pounds?
The benefits massively outweigh just, you know, if you think about these individual cities as the market rather than just the North, I think it's, there's a lot of mistakes are made there. And I think one of the issues is that these brands, particularly the one we're talking about, do have a global identity. So in terms of scale and the reach that they need, they probably need to do widespread campaigns like this. But do you think you can maintain global identity?
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it. If you're going to do something, don't do it half-assed. And I believe that about absolutely anything. I don't care who you are. I don't care what brand you are. No brand is bigger than the people who make the till ring. And ultimately, if you are going to be lazy and if you're going to be arrogant, which I think this brand was, then you don't deserve the till to ring, quite frankly. So I would say, I don't care if you're the biggest brand in the world or you're a startup. If you are trying to talk to a particular audience, take the time, especially if you're a big brand, because you've actually got the resource to be able to do it. Go and spend the time to understand them and really, really maximize that opportunity and really maximize the output from it. Or don't do it. Just stick to big, global, broad brush campaigns that it doesn't matter whether you see it in Singapore, London, Manchester, Wigan, wherever. It doesn't matter. But don't do it half-assed if you're going to try and regionalize.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, completely fair. And it should be a consideration, really. Why do it at all if it's going to come across so poorly and be executed Absolutely. So badly? There is a lot of, you know, for out-of-home campaigns in particular, there's a lot of tech available to be able to do interesting, easy local campaigns that can really hit on a regional basis. Should brands be making the most of this now? You know, we can talk about out of home and audio. These are beyond just brand awareness posters. There are real results from these now. Do you think, brands should be making more of an effort with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think as digital kind of creeps into more of that out of home space, which, you know, on a very basic level, you see it with a digital billboard, right? That can be changed within minutes if a campaign goes live and it's not quite hitting the mark or people are kicking off about it or whatever. But you take that one step further and the data that we have available to us now through our phones, through tracking, through knowing exactly who's going to be walking past billboards at certain times and everything else, brands should 100% be making that part of their strategy. I read something the other day that said that, you know, human beings every single day consume something like 72 gigabytes of information, which is the equivalent of watching 16 films in a day, right? So imagine I said to you, right, tomorrow you've got to watch 16 films in a day, but you've still got to do your job, you've still got to take the kids to work, you've still got to sort the house out, you've still got to make dinner, you've still got to run your life, but you've got to watch these 16 films. If I then said to you a week later, so that day that you watched the 16 films, tell me which ones stood out to you. Tell me which ones you remember. There's no way you'd be able to tell me all 16 films. But the ones you would be able to tell me about were the ones that cut through, were the ones that put something in front of you that you weren't expecting or made you feel a certain way. And I think outdoor can do that. I think outdoor has the opportunity to cut through all of this, like all the phone stuff. It really is an opportunity when people are out about in the world to cut through and just make you stop and think, right? You don't have to convert there and then. You don't have to transact there and then. You don't have to make a decision that you're going to interact with that brand. But it's enough that it's registered as part of that 72 gigabytes of information that the next time you see it, you'll remember it. And I think that's what brands need to do. I think they need to, we've become too used to, you can just put a brand in front of someone digitally on social media or through paid or whatever it might be. And that's enough. And we'll just do that six times and then we'll get the transaction. And again, it's lazy. Like, it's really lazy. You've got to remember that, and this is something we talk to our clients a lot about, data is not data. It's human beings, right? And they are you and me. So if you think about everything that you do in a day, the places that you go, the things you see, there's two billboards that I see every single day on my way into work and my way home from work. I could tell you what is on those billboards every single day because I see them. And that is an opportunity. That is an opportunity there for somebody to cut through. I'm on my way into work. I'm thinking about what I've got to do for the day. I'm stood at these traffic lights. For 2 seconds, you've got me. What are you going to do to put in front of me so that when I go to the desk, when I turn on my laptop and I look at my phone and I see another ad, I'm going to remember that I saw the billboard. So I think there's a huge opportunity. And I think as technology grows and, you know, dare I say it, AI grows and things like that, we'll get to a point where we can tailor the billboards that people are seeing based on who is actually around them. And I think that that'll be a really interesting, scary, but really interesting space to get to. If, you know, if the billboard can see that at this point through the data it's been given that 60% of the people looking at are ABC1 females, then that will change the ad that is shown, because the majority of people in that space need to be looking at this type of ad. And I think that will be an incredible place to get to. And it will really, really make marketing teams and advertising firms have to work harder.
Yeah, work harder. And also, there's a lot of fun to be had there. You know, this, the particular brand that... The brand we're talking about today, you know, instead of a giant poster just referencing Manchester as a name, you know, there could be a digital board that knows the weather because of the data. It could be, you know, it's sunny in Manchester, time for a magnificent ice cream.
We have that already. So we already have that with the likes of Google and paid search and that kind of thing. That, you know, if we know the weather's going to be bad, we have these algorithms that say, right, okay, we can start touting umbrellas tomorrow because we know it's going to chuck it down. I mean, to be honest, you could pretty much sell an umbrella any day in Manchester and you'd get a sale. Yeah. But, you know, it's we do have that technology already to a degree. So it's just an evolution of that. And I think that when it comes to outdoor, I think there is just a laziness that has been accepted within the industry. And they don't really do much, but if we're a big enough brand, we should have billboards. Okay, fine. Let's be kind of clever. Let's throw a city's name onto it. That's just, it's not enough. And people see through it. And I think the more that technology can come involved with outdoor advertising, I think, as I say, the smarter it will be, the cleverer the campaigns will have to be, and the harder that marketing teams will have to work to get those eyeballs.
Yeah, and, you know, bring it on. I think we've seen such a change in out of home in recent years, from being very much kind of the brand recognition play, just logos, just outdoor stuff, to being, you know, like you've talked about, the targeting. It's really possible
and
now.
Also, we can. There's just been an acceptance for such a long time that only big brands can use outdoor. Whereas actually, the more data and the more technology gets involved, small brands, startups, the people that don't have the big budgets like this brand that we're talking about, those are the guys that need to see the numbers that it's going to work, that it's going to pay off. They don't have like the test and see budgets, right? So I think actually it will open outdoor up to smaller brands who haven't got the budget to have their billboard sat there for 12 hours a day on rotation for a week or whatever, but they have got the budget to go, right, well, for this 10 minutes of the day, when we know that our audience is walking past that billboard, we want to own those 10 minutes and we're not bothered about anything else because the rest is just, you know, kind of noise to us. So not only will it open up, you know, more brands being able to use that kind of outdoor advertising and get rid of this acceptance that only big brands can go on billboards. And once you've got a billboard, you've kind of made it, that type of thing. I think it will also make that type of advertising much more cost efficient as well. And if you're a small business, you're all about efficiency, right? You're all about ROI. You're all about if we put this much in the sausage machine, how much do we get out? And I think that as we evolve, I think that is where outdoor will come into its own, and we'll actually see a much wider range of brands using it.
Yeah, and you know, it's something to look forward to, and that kind of opening up that marketplace a little bit. It's good to see. We've had some fascinating case studies about kind of using that geographical data for, you know, placing an ad on a bus shelter outside a student union can improve fast food footfall in the nearest restaurants and stuff like that. It's just being clever with your context, but the data is all there for it. So we've talked a lot about Manchester, and obviously Co & Co, you're based in Manchester, you founded the agency there. From your perspective, what trends are going on at the moment? What's making everything move for you at the moment?
So, I mean, I'm obviously massively biased because I have been here for 12 years. It's where I start my business. But I genuinely don't think that when it comes to creativity, there are many places that match Manchester. And I think that is, A, because, you know, there's kind of this we matter too mentality, like, you know, the guys in London, like, who gives a shit, basically, like, we're all over it. I think kind of what really started that, though, was from a corporate perspective, that migration of big business. I mean, I think we have something like 85 out of the top 100 FTSE companies have a base and have a head office here in Manchester. So we've seen that migration of big business, big brands as well, that come with those big businesses. And with that, that's really fed into the creative talent that has then come, you know, come into Manchester, whether that be retained from the universities, whether that be people that already lived here, whether that be people that are moving out of London and are coming to Manchester for these amazing opportunities to work with these brands. So not only have we had that, but we've also been for ages, and I can't put my finger on it, I can't tell you what it is, but Manchester seems to have been this incubator for years for creativity. And I talked about, you know, Represent before, I talked about Pretty Little Thing, I talked about Adenola, like all these brands that have been born out of Manchester, where, you know, they're all built around this community. They're all built around the people that are here and you know, and what the people in this city want to do and stuff. So I think that the big trend that I see here in Manchester is that the brands that are really doing well are the ones that are focusing on community, and they're focusing on building an authentic community, and they are authentic in everything that they do. I do think that that movement of big business into the city has really kind of given young people especially the opportunity to work with these big brands, whether they be, you know, massively creative brands within themselves, or whether they just be big brands that, you know, have big budgets and therefore, you know, you can kind of do some cool stuff with. But I think that that has been a bit of a catalyst really for people to then go, wow, okay, so, you know, they might take all the learnings that they get from Amazon or Google or whatever, and then they go and start up their own thing. There's huge investment into kind of SciTech Park and these incubators for people that want to start businesses, and they could be, you know, tech businesses or they could be creative businesses. But there's definitely inward investment here into people creating really, really good businesses. But the golden thread between all of them, I would say, is that community piece. They are all really concentrating on creating that organic, authentic following, and then taking that out to the world.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to see and how, you know, that focus on community has really developed and how brands are really using that to their own advantage. And it's, you know, exciting time for you to be there and working with Co&Co at the moment. What have you got going on?
Yeah, not bad to be an agency where we focus on community-centric brands and activations and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, a huge part of our business is working with brands who are customer-focused, customer-centric, and want to build and maintain that community, whether that be online or offline, and also activate spaces for people. So, you know, we've seen it kind of mainly, I would say, in retail over the last couple of years. So we all know, it's no secret that the high street has had a really hard time for a long, long time. Since we were able to just go on our phones and buy everything online, the high street's really taken a battering. Now, what we're seeing, the trend that we're seeing is the brands that go, okay, fine, we get it. Like the high street, just being able to provide a shop where someone can buy something is no longer enough. What else do people want? The people that are creating spaces and activating those spaces, so that almost buying a product from them happens as just part of the experience, they're the ones that succeed. And so as an example, they're not based in Manchester, but Gymshark, who are a brand that I talk about all the time and I think are fantastic. They were a completely online business for their entire journey up until, what, like a year, 18 months ago, when they opened their shop on Regent Street in London, probably the most expensive commercial strip that you could be on in the world, certainly within Europe, right? And they decided to go from online, where there are much fewer overheads, obviously, because you don't have kind of assets in terms of properties and stuff to maintain and staff to work in them, to we're going to open a store. And there was a lot of people going, you're nuts, like you're absolutely crazy. Why would you do that? Why would you almost go backwards? And it's because they recognized that what Gymshark did was they didn't open a store on Regent Street. They opened a hub for a community. And because they had spent that time building the community around Gymshark for as long as they had done, you know, 10 years, they were able to open a shop that instantly that community had a home. And if you've ever been into that shop, the last thing that you are pushed to do is buy something. You are pushed to interact. You are pushed to immerse yourself. You're pushed to communicate. You're pushed to collaborate. You're pushed to do a workout. Like, you are pushed to do absolutely everything other than buy a product. You buy a product because of the experience that you've had. And that's the same with the likes of Represent, who, you know, again, Manchester brand. They've only just started opening up their first store. They've actually opened up their first store over in America. They're another one who they've built this whole community. I mean, 247, which was kind of George Heaton's kind of little side project, just because he liked training and he liked fitness and he wanted to wear comfortable stuff when he was working out. has kind of snowballed to the fact where he can say we're doing a run, a 247 community run, and he'll get thousands of people turning up on the corner of a street in London, in Berlin, in LA, wherever it might be, to come together. So these brands that are, for me, reactivating the high street are the ones that are giving people another reason to go there. It's not just come here and you can buy something. It's come here, have an experience. And if you want to buy something, great. If not, you're part of our community. And because we live in a digital first world, they've got the email, they can be retargeted, they can be brought back in. People are, the brands that do really well are the ones that really focus on every single layer of the sales funnel and understand that you can't just focus on the low hanging fruit at the bottom. A, that's a very expensive exercise to do, but also that's not where loyalty is built. That's not where community is built. That's not where long-term results are built. You have to be getting these people at the higher level of the sales funnel who then decide, okay, I'm part of your tribe. And then they cancel everybody else out and they take themselves down the sales funnel to the point that they're ready to buy. So I would definitely say that the brands that are reimagining in kind of old world, whether it be the high street or, you know, whatever, are the ones that are smashing it really at the moment.
Amazing. Well, there's so much interesting stuff in there, Jordan, and we'll definitely keep up with you and how Co & Co are doing. I'd love to love to chat again later in the year. That's all we have time for, but thanks so much for your time today. Really good to chat. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week on the Mad Tech Podcast.